Scripture this morning is found in three different places, starting with 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. It is true that we live in the world, but we do not fight from worldly motives. The weapons we use in our fight are not the world's weapons, but God's powerful weapons, which we use to destroy strongholds. We destroy false arguments. We pull down every obstacle that is raised against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, believers, what is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things in daily life. And the God who is the source of peace and well-being will be with you. And of course, Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Have you ever been surprised by your own thoughts? Suddenly you'll just be like, where did that come from? I know I've experienced it when I've been driving and suddenly your mind's kind of just roaming off and you start to think random things, and sometimes you create a scenario in your mind and you sort of play out the dialogue and everything, and at some point, I know for myself, I just feel like, why am I thinking this? Like, what is going on? And quickly bring my thoughts back to something more productive and useful. Now here's the thing that we need to realize, is that we are not the source of all of our thoughts. Just because it's popped into our head does not mean that we have created that thought. Our mind is like a dumping ground where everyone and everything has access to drop thoughts into our head, including our enemy. Let's put it to the test. I'm going to say a word and immediately check what you're thinking. Kitten. Now raise your hand if a kitten, an image of a kitten or something about a fluffy kitten popped into your head when you heard the word, right? That's what happens. Things get dumped into our minds from outside of us. Now most people don't have a problem with random thoughts popping into their heads, and they might even spend valuable time considering these random things that have popped into their head. And some thoughts are just harmless. You know, things like maybe looking into the sky and wondering about space travel or the planets or something like that, or maybe you're just kind of thinking about another vacation, where might I want to go? Or maybe, I think it's this time of the year, you might be thinking about your draft fantasy football team and who you need to get on your roster. But some thoughts can be harmful, like lusting thoughts. Jesus said, I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Or devious, plotting thoughts, you know? How could I get back at that person? You know, and you just kind of create a whole little thing. You're not gonna follow through on it, but you're investing a bit of time planning it out. And you tell yourself it's therapeutic. But Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. What we think about matters. Now, we may not be the source of those random thoughts, but we get to decide how long those thoughts stay in our head. Careless thoughts distract us and waste our time and hinder us from thinking better things that lead to better living. Every moment of every day, our minds are active with thoughts. And every day there is a battle going on in our minds between right and wrong, between good and bad, between integrity and compromise, between the spirit and the flesh, between God's way or Satan's way. And it is our wills that determine who wins control of our minds. And because actions follow thoughts, ultimately, who wins control of our minds wins control of our lives. So what do we do to win the battle of our thoughts? First, we must submit our wills to God's. That is, trade in the what I want for me for what God wants of me. And remember that we're not just blindly submitting to God. We already know that God's will for each of us is good and pleasing and perfect. So it's not really sacrificing, because we're actually upgrading ourselves from our version of our best to God's version of our best, which is much better. When we do this, we have to recognize that our sinful, stubborn old nature will scream and holler about the injustice of it all. It may yell, "Why should I?" when? Because we love to justify our wrong thinking and our wrongdoing. But as we mature in Christ, aligning our will with His will becomes second nature to us. There will become a time when you no longer respond with, "Oh, but why should I?" Even though you're doing the right thing, you're doing it grudgingly. That'll change as you mature in Christ. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions." Meaning, basically, our sinful nature battles our spirit in our thoughts to convince us not to complete the actions of our intentions. So in other words, this battle in our mind, in our thoughts, tries to persuade us to act differently than what we may have intended. So let me give you an example. Suppose you need to have a hard conversation with someone, and so you have determined to be calm and peaceful and respectful for a productive discussion. But in the middle of the talk, you begin to experience invading thoughts like, "How dare they? I am right and they are wrong. I will not be disrespected by them." And because you let those thoughts linger, you didn't hold them captive. The talk turns into an argument, despite your good intentions. You've chosen to take offense rather than separating those negative thoughts from the situation. You needed to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And Christ says, "Do not be easily offended. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies." But your thoughts were opposed to what Christ said, which should have been a big red flag that those thoughts weren't coming from God. And so we should have cast them down or destroyed them instead of embracing them and acting on them. We have to cast down those wrong thinkings, especially when they don't line up with Christ. Another example. Suppose you were going out to dinner and you just had a very generous spirit in your heart and you were planning to leave a very nice tip for the server, just to bless that person. But throughout the dinner, your thoughts began to shift to all the things you didn't like. It is too hot in here. It is too cold in here. It's really loud in here. This service is so slow. She never brought the water I asked for. And so you allow these thoughts to change your intentions. And when it comes time to leave the tip, you're pretty miserly. And you justify it for all those wrong thinkings you let stay in your head. When really, why should the circumstances override what you decided in your heart? But these invading thoughts are determined to block you from doing good. But if we had taken those thoughts captive, and if we had compared them to God's word that tells us to be a blessing to others, to be merciful and kind, we wouldn't have let those thoughts override the good we intended. My daughter calls me most every day, usually during her lunch, and a lot of that time is spent venting about her workplace, mostly the management. She works in daycare. Well, the other day, she wasn't frustrated as much by the management as she was by two older children who are in the after-school program. So they're typically older than the regular daycare kids. And they were just being really challenging. I mean, at the beginning of the year, they're new to Julie, Julie's new to them. So she was venting a little bit about them and how frustrating they were. And then she remembered this one other child from her group who was so sweet and had done this really sweet, kind thing. And as she was telling me about this child, everything shifted in her voice toward joy. And so I gave her my pastor advice. And I said, you know, you should keep thinking about all the things that are worthy of praise and let go of those things that are frustrating you. They're already over. Focus on the good things in that day because they're life-giving. They'll improve your mood and ultimately your level of joy. You see, if you hold on to those negative thoughts, it will put you in a foul mood and may even make you dread the next day. So we're to take those negative thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. See, Scripture says, most important of all is to continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers over a multitude of sins. When we let our thoughts focus on these negative things, it drains us. It sits heavy in our hearts. And like I said, we can even begin to dread the next day or dread the next time we have to encounter someone. So let that bad stuff slip away from your mind. Don't let it occupy any more of your thinking. Instead, focus on whatever good things happened. David, the king of Israel, spent a bit of his time being pursued by Saul. And David wrote this psalm, Psalm 42, while hiding from Saul. He says to himself, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." See, David knew the secret to changing his negative thoughts was to focus on God and to offer him praise. Recall the list that I read already this morning of all the things Paul tells us to think about in Philippians 4. Whatever is true and honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right, whatever is pure and wholesome and lovely, whatever brings peace, whatever is admirable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise. Think continually on these things. Now, we would be exhausted if we had to fight the battle of our thoughts on our own. But fortunately, we do not. We have God's powerful weapons, which we use to destroy strongholds. And strongholds are areas of negative thinking that have established some roots in us. God's powerful weapons are found in Jesus, and they are wisdom, righteousness, peace, love, joy, and rest. We have to compare the words that are spiraling around in our heads to the sacred words contained in the Bible. We have to think about our thoughts and hold them captive and lift them up before our Father. Not just some of the thoughts, but every thought. Every claim of the world that gets dumped into your head, every claim we hear on social media, every claim from your mother-in-law, from a friend, from a teacher, and every claim we think about ourselves. We need to take all of those thoughts captive and measure them against the Bible and against the obedience of Christ. You see, the fact that we can capture our thoughts shows us that we have control over them. They don't have control over us, and nor should we ever let them have control over us. We demolish every thought and argument that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Our thoughts are important, and so we should pay attention to what thoughts we are giving our attention to. Think about what you're thinking about. And at any time, we can choose to think about the things that are true and noble and right and pure. We need to let God transform the way we think so that we will know and do the good things that God has intended for us from the beginning. Romans 8:6 says, "The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." May God bless you with the mind of Christ. May God lead you to walk in His righteousness, starting with your thought life. May you allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind, to help you fix your thoughts on Him, and bring healing into all aspects of your mind. May you be blessed with peace and joy as you walk in His grace today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always.